Once again, for the opportunity to share Divrei Torah here. Afreilich and Chanukah to all of you. I'm humbled to speak in the presence of Rabbi Flaum, as always. And thank you again, Dr. Stoltz-Loike, for giving me the opportunity to be back here once again to spend time with the students. So as we know, over the course of the celebration of Chanukah, we are going to have the opportunity to say Hallel many, many times. And we started to say the Hallel this morning. That was the first opportunity we've had, but I thought it was a good chance for all of us to just think a little bit more carefully about gratitude and gratefulness, Hallel v'Hodah, that we all are involved in throughout our lives, and what the expectation is of Hallel v'Hodah in the lives that we all live. So we begin with a comment of the Medrash, in the very first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshis bara Elokim. A very curious terminology that's used there in the Psukim. It says, in the beginning Hashem created, and the Medrash finds that to be very unusual. The Medrash says it must be referring to something, Bishvil Reishis. There was a justification, there was a reason why the world was created, and that is for the purpose of Reishis. What is this ubiquitous Reishis that we don't really know what it means? And the Medrash gives a number of explanations as to what that could be. One suggestion the Medrash says is, Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis. As we know, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The Torah itself is referred to as Reishis, and therefore perhaps the justification of the world being created was because there would come a time when the Torah would be given, and that was a good enough reason for the world to have been created. Number two, says the Medrash, perhaps the reason why was because Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Because there would come a time when there would be a Jewish people. And that too is a good enough reason for the world to have been created as we know it, for all of humanity. But then the Medrash says something very unusual. Perhaps, writes the Medrash, the reason why our world was created is because Bishvil Bikurim Shenikra Reishis. Because there would come a time when we would have the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is to bring the first fruits up to the Beis HaMikdash, up to Yerushalayim, and we would have the opportunity to do that once a year. And perhaps that is the reason why we have all been created and why we are all here. How strange. How strange that is when you think linearly, when you try to understand how that fits into the pattern. That would be a good enough justification for our world to have been created. How does one understand that? And perhaps the answer is very simple. Bikurim is an opportunity when a human being has the chance to confess and to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything I have is from you. And the Psukim tell us that is what a Jew is expected to say when they come up to the Beis HaMikdash, when they come and offer the Bikurim. Ve'es ha'adama asher nasata li. We're talking about the fact that we recognize that the Ribono Shel Olam himself gave us everything that we have. And all of the successes that we have in our lives are due to his brachos, to his blessing. Everything that we have the opportunity to be involved in is only because the Ribono Shel Olam allowed us to do so. And therefore, this is why it is so fundamental, it is so central, it is so important, says the Medrash, and Bishvil Reishis, for this very reason, for Bikurim alone, the world was worthy of being created. The Ramban, you know, there are a few Rambans on Chumash that have caught the attention of many, many later generations and later Svarim. One of the most famous Rambans that I'm sure many of you are familiar with is when the Ramban comments in Parshas Bo about what in his view is the objective of Nisim. Why is it that we experience miracles in our world? What is the point of having all these miracles? And the Ramban goes into a lengthy, beautiful discussion to explain why in his position he feels that this is something that is extremely important for our lives. But there the Ramban writes something else. And if you look in number Beis, he says the following. Kavanas kol ha-mitzvos, writes the Ramban. If you have the opportunity to boil down everything that we do as Jews and to explain what is the purpose, what is the objective of all of the mitzvos that we observe, which would be a difficult task for anyone. But writes the Ramban, it's twofold. Number one, Shenamin be'alokeinu. Obviously, we have to understand that we need to have a baseline belief in the Ribono Shel Olam himself. If you don't believe in him, then all of the service that one might do is meaningless. Number one, writes the Ramban, Shenamin be'elokeinu. We need to believe in God. And number two, and no less important, is Vinoda elav shehu bera'anu. The Ramban writes, The objective of everything we try to do as Jews in the world is to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence and to use that as an opportunity to thank Him for creating us. That is what the entire Jewish experience is supposed to boil down to. Vihi kavanas hayitzira, writes the Ramban, this is the objective of everything that we do. This is why we were all created. She'ein lanu tam acher biyitzira harishona milvad. She'yeda ha'adam v'yoda le'elokav shebaro, writes the Ramban quite clearly that this is the reason why we're all here. It's to give us an opportunity to be grateful. It's to give us the chance to recognize how central the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the lives that we all live. In fact, in Parshas Vayechi, we have Yaakov Avinu gives the brachos to all of his children, and he says some kind of very unusual statement to Yehuda. And he addresses him by saying, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. Now, for anyone who knows Hebrew, try to figure out, how do you translate that word? Ata yoducha achecha. Your brother's will. Anybody know? What does it mean? They will be grateful to you? They will... What does it mean? Anybody have an idea? Ata yoducha achecha. Why would the brothers be grateful to Yehuda? What has he done? What has he accomplished? Why do they owe so much to him? And the Targum Yonos of Menuziel says, no, that's not what it means. Ata yoducha achecha means your brothers will be known by you. As we know, we're all referred to as Yehudim. We are Jews. Why don't we refer to ourselves as Ruvenim or Shimonim? Everybody comes from a different Shevet. Why are we collectively referred to as Yehudim? Explains the Targum Yonos, and that's what this means. Ata yoducha achecha. All of your brothers, all of your family will go down in history being known by you. You know why? Because Yehuda was named for gratitude. Leah names her child Yehuda because she says, Hapam Odes Hashem. The hallmark characteristic of a Jew is to be able to be grateful, to be able to recognize the kindnesses of others in the lives that they live. And that is why, perhaps, we as Jews are all known for all eternity as Yehudim. We might not all be the children of Yehuda, but we all have that incredible character trait to be able to recognize and understand what it is that others provide for us, and certainly what the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us in the lives that we live. We say it every Shabbos in Nishmas. We add a special tefillah on Shabbos when we talk about our beautiful relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in the very end of Nishmas, we say, Shekein Chovas Kol HaYitzurim. This is the primary obligation of every live human being. Lahodos ulahalel lefoer leromeim lahader levarech lealei ulekaleis. This is the obligation. It's the opportunity of every human being to be able to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we owe Him and how grateful we are to Him for the lives that we live. Now, Hakaras HaTov and gratefulness and gratitude is something that's nice to talk about. But when you think about it, it's not always so simple to understand who it is that we owe the debt of gratitude toward. And what I mean by that is the following. The Medrash writes in Parshas Shemos, if you look at number Dalet, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, is living in the palace of Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu then feels compelled to go out to his brothers and to finally identify himself together with everyone there. Moshe Rabbeinu, upon leaving the palace of Paro, encounters this terrible story. He goes ahead and he kills the Mitzri. He now realizes that he has to run away for his life. He's afraid. And he runs down to Midian. And when he gets to Midian, he meets the daughters of Yisro. They come back and they tell their father, Ish Mitzri hitzilanu miyad haroim. We'd like you to know there was an Egyptian man who was there today at the well. And he didn't allow any of the others to abuse us. He made sure to look out for us. And perhaps we should invite him into the home. Perhaps we should show him how grateful we are to him for what he did. Now, parenthetically, this has nothing to do with the shir, but it's just important to know this medrash because it's astounding. The medrash writes, isn't it strange? Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest Jewish leader, and look how much he accomplished. After everything he did, Moshe Rabbeinu just wants one thing from the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is that? What does Moshe Rabbeinu want? He wants to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's all he asked for. Pretty simple. And the Medrash writes in Parshas Va'aschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu offers so many tefillos. He puts himself out. He wants so badly to go into the land, and the Medrash gives us a little bit of a clue in as to what those conversations were about. What exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was asking and pleading for this one request that he wanted? So the Medrash gives us one of those conversations, and it says the following. Mipnei ma atzmosav shel Yosef nechnasim la'aretz, va'ani eini nechnas la'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu brazenly asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that the bones of Yosef HaTzadik have the right to come up into the land of Eretz Yisrael? And I, Moshe Rabbeinu, after everything I've done, I led the people to this point, I walked them up to Eretz Yisrael, I got them this far, I made them into a nation. You don't allow me to come in just like Yosef? I can't even have the one gift that I asked for, the one request that I have in my life? Listen to what the Ribbono Shel Olam responds. It's shocking. But in the culture that we live in today, I think it's an important line to be aware of. You know, you're very blessed to live on a campus where you don't have to worry so much about these kinds of issues. But for those who are living on college campuses where they worry about BDS and about fighting for the Jewish people and about having to defend everything that we stand for, this medrash is a very important comment. And all of you at some point will go out into the world and you'll encounter some of the difficult challenges that we as adults have to face when we feel that we're under attack and we feel that we need to defend the decisions of our land and the decisions of our leaders. Well, listen to the Medrash. Why is it, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Yosef has the right to go into the land and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't? The answer is very simple. Mi shehoda ba'artzo, nikvar ba'artzo. He who is proud, he who takes so much pride in their connection to the land of Eretz Yisrael has a right to go into the land. Umi she'eino mode ba'artzo, eino nichnas la'artzo. He who is embarrassed and ashamed of their affiliation with the land of Israel and everything that it represents has no right to enter. Writes the Medrash, where do we find such a thing? Moshe Rabbeinu is embarrassed? Moshe Rabbeinu is ashamed of his connection to Eretz Yisrael and Yosef is proud? Yes, writes the Medrash, because Yosef, when he's found down in Mitzrayim and he doesn't know where he is and he's totally confused and he's lost, Yosef immediately says, Kanov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. He identifies himself as being the Jew from the land of Israel. He's not ashamed to disclose his identity. He doesn't hide his Judaism. He's very proud of it. And here, writes the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroen. Does your blood not boil when somebody mistakenly thinks that you are an Egyptian? He should have immediately corrected them and said, I'm sorry. I might look like I'm an Egyptian, but I happen to be a Jew who is connected to the people in the land of Israel. And from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly was ashamed of his connection, writes the Medrash, he doesn't have a right to entry into the land. Powerful Medrash. But it's commenting on this pasuk. Now our Medrash in Parsha Shemos asks, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu? Was Moshe Rabbeinu really an Egyptian? Is that the way they identified him? Is that really the way they understood him? Look at the Medrash together. Let's see number Dalet. Vatomarna, and the daughter said back to her father Yisro, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim. Asked the Medrash, V'chi Mitzri Haya Moshe? Was Moshe Rabbeinu really an Egyptian? What does this mean? And the Medrash answer is number one, Ela Levusho Mitzri V'hu Ivri. The Medrash says no. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was living in an Egyptian palace. He was dressed like the Egyptians. He had no time to change his clothing. And he goes down to Midian, and that's what they perceive him to be, because they see him wearing the clothing that's identical to those of the Egyptians. Perhaps that's why they called him an Ish Mitzri. More importantly, writes the Medrash number two, and this is relevant to our comment here. Ish Mitzri, you know why they refer to him as that? Mashal la'echad sheneshacho ha'arud. The Medrash tells us, you know, they used to have their own understandings of medical research back in the times of Chazal. And we know today that many of the medical ideas that perhaps they considered to be worthwhile in the days of Chazal, we know today that we do not follow them. But one of the treatments that perhaps was accepted back then was, if you would have somebody who was bitten by a scorpion, so the medical understanding was that if the scorpion got to the closest body of water first before the human being, then the human being would die. We know today this corresponds to none of the medical realities that we are familiar with, but that's what the understanding was in the times of Chazal. So immediately when somebody was bitten, they would run to the body of water that was closest to them to stick their foot into the water to make sure they would be healed. Writes the Medrash, Masha le'echad shenashacho ha'arid. There was somebody who was bitten by this poisonous animal. Vayaratz liten ragla b'mayim. And based on the medical belief of the time, this individual is running to the water as quickly as they can. Nasnan lanar, he puts his foot into the water, and immediately vira tinok echad shu shokea b'mayim. He sees a little child drowning in the water, doesn't know how to swim. I never otherwise would have come to this river. I never would have come to this body of water. The only reason I came is because I was bitten by that snake. So the child is saved, and when he finally comes back to himself, he's thanking this human being so profoundly. Look what you've done to me. I would have died if not for you. And the response is, don't thank me. I never would have thought to come save you. You have to thank that snake. Because had I not been bitten by the snake, I never would have come to save you either. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're grateful to me for saving you from being abused by the other people who are standing by the well. You don't owe the debt of gratitude to me. You owe the gratitude to the Ish Mitzri who sent me here. I never would have come down to Mitzrayim. Why would I end up in Midian? What would bring me here? The only reason why I showed up in your community is because I was a fugitive, because that Egyptian evil man wanted to kill me. But that's who you owe the debt of gratitude to. Think about it. I see there are a number of you who are married, or perhaps some of you are dating. So sometimes you're set up by somebody and you're grateful to that person. And you should be. You should be grateful to the person that set you up. We try every year to send some sort of message to our shadchan. Even though we're a number of years into our marriage, we should always feel grateful to the person who did that tremendous chesed for us. And every time we have a child, we call them right away and we thank them once again. And every time something good happens to us, we're grateful to them. But whoever takes a moment to take a step back and think, how did I ever even meet that shadchan in the first place? How did I get there? You go to a wedding and somebody meets you and they ultimately set you up with somebody else. Did you ever think to be grateful to that person who made the wedding? Had they not gotten married, you never would have met the person who ended up helping you. You need a job. At some point you're going to graduate, you're going to want a job in whatever profession you want to go into. And you meet somebody who's a helpful lead. How did you meet that person? You were invited to a Shabbos meal somewhere, you were davening in somebody's shul, you went to a friend's house, and one thing led to the next. How many people have the ability to look back and say, well, maybe the one who I owe the debt of gratitude toward is not as obvious as I may have thought. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu, I understand. You want to be grateful to me because I am the one who gave you the immediate salvation. I am the one who gave you the immediate relief. I helped you as you see it right now. But think, how did I get here? Why am I here? What facilitated my ability to actually be helpful to you? And that teaches Moshe Rabbeinu is something that is a very important component to what Hakaras HaTov is all about, to being grateful. You know, sometimes people do things for us and it's just not a big deal at all. You ever driving to a wedding, someone asks you for a ride, you were planning on going anyway, and the person just wants to go to sleep in the back of your car. It's not like you're going to have to sit and talk to them, even if you don't want to. It's really no big deal. And you give them a ride. So you'll say, they didn't really go out of their way. This really was not such a great expense to them. This really was not something that they had to put themselves out for. Well, let's think about the story that we're now living through, Yosef and his brothers. It's a very painful story every year when we read it. Am I supposed to look or I'm not supposed to look? Okay, I should keep going? You can walk around me. I won't be disturbed. It's okay. So, every year when we read the story of the Achei Yosef, you know, I always feel that we relive the experience. Like, I feel anxious when the brothers are in the room and they don't know what's about to happen and they think that it's Paro. I always feel like I'm reliving the experience that they had. So, what happened in last week's Parsha? All the brothers get together and they make a decision, you know, it's time for us to just get rid of this problem. The Yosef problem is getting out of control. So what happens? Look at the Medrash number hey. They make their decision. They sell their brother down to another country. And all of a sudden, Vayishma Ruvain Vayatzileu Meyadam. Number hey. Ruvain suddenly wakes up. And he says, hey, you know, I should really go and try to save my brother. Now, first of all, where have you been? Where were you when we were negotiating all of this? Writes the Medrash, Veheichan Haya. Why wasn't Reuven involved in all the negotiations and everything that was being discussed? How come they didn't consult him? After all, he is the oldest child of the family. He probably is somewhat responsible. Where was he? Writes the Medrash, Rabbi Yosi v'Rab Nechemya v'Rabbanan. Three interpretations. Number one. They had a rotation. Anyone have an elderly grandparent who needs to be cared for? Anybody here have one? You're all very lucky. Either you have grandparents who are all healthy, or grandparents who unfortunately are no longer. But if you have somebody that you know that needs medical attention all the time, so you take a rotation. It can't be one person's obligation at all times to be available. We all have lives. So one child will go one day, one child another day, and we switch off, and we all have our responsibilities, and we get the job done. So, right to the Medrash, that's what happened with the brothers. They had this old father, Yaakov Avinu, at home, and everybody needed to take turns making sure that Yaakov Avinu was taken care of. That day, when all of this happened to be the turn of Reuven. So he happened not to be there when his brother was sold down to this group of Yishma'elim. It's the first interpretation. Number two. Reb Nechemya Amar Reuven. Reuven said, Ani Bechor. Reuven's looking at this in the overall perspective and he says, hey, in history, how are they going to remember this story? They're going to say, my brother Yosef was kicked out of the family and his life was destroyed. And you know what else they're going to say? They're going to say that the oldest child of that family was Reuven. And for anybody who's an oldest child, you know, I'm one of the youngest in my family, I get away with everything. But for anyone who's one of the older children knows, you got to take responsibility more than the younger ones. Reuven says, what am I going to do? In history, this is going to go down as something that is my fault. I wasn't involved, but look what happened. I am the Bechor. It's going to be something that I'm going to be pinned with the blame. I have to go and save my brother. That's interpretation number two. Number three, writes the Medrash. What was going on? Why did Reuven suddenly wake up and say, you know, I have to save my brother? It's not because he wasn't there. It's not because he was servicing his father that day. And it's not because he was the Bechor, but rather, says the Medrash as follows, and let's read it together, number hey. Rabbanan Amri, Amar Reuven, Reuven says, Hu mona osi em achai, ve eini matzilo? My brother Yosef is willing to count me among the rest of my family members. He's willing to treat me like a brother, and I'm not going to go out and save him? What is he referring to? Writes the Medrash, there was a time in Reuven's life when he was convinced that he was going to be thrown out of the family because of what he did with his father, with his mother, and he switched some things around. Reuven was concerned that he was going to be out. Suddenly, along comes his brother Yosef, and he has a dream. And he says, you know, in my dream I saw achad asar kochavim. I saw 11 stars. Reuven says, hey, 11 stars means my brother really believes that I'm one of the boys, that I'm one of the children. I'm still here. He still counts me as one of them. I shouldn't be grateful to him? after he invites me back into the family after all that I've done, immediately writes the Medrash, Reuven says, I got to pay it forward to him. And that's what he does. Think about it. Did Yosef actually do anything? Did he go out of his way for his brother? Nothing. All he did was he went to sleep one night and he has a dream and he reports the dream back to his family. But Reuven says that's what being grateful means. Being grateful doesn't just mean when somebody goes so far out of their way for you. It doesn't only mean when somebody has a major expense to help you. Being grateful means even when somebody gives me that ride where they were going anyway and it made absolutely no difference to them. When somebody drops off a package to a place I was going anyway. When somebody helps me in my life even though it meant nothing to them, but it meant so much to me. I owe that debt of gratitude. I have to recognize how grateful I need to be, even in situations like that. You know, Hakaras HaTov goes so far. It's an amazing phenomenon. We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader of the Jewish people, and it's time to take them out of Mitzrayim. They've suffered enough. Writes the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing 7 days back and forth. No, I don't think it's for me. Shlach nabiyat tishlach. I want you to send somebody else. I'm not such a good public speaker. I don't know how to negotiate with Paro. I'd rather you send my older brother Aaron. And they're going on and on, and he's giving every excuse in the book. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally says, okay, are you done? Because this is going to happen anyway. So let's stop arguing, and let's just allow this to play out. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes he has no choice. He has to go on this mission as much as he doesn't want to. What happens next? Look at the Medrash number Vav on the bottom. Vayelech Moshe, after those 7 days of negotiating back and forth, waiting, finally he agrees, Vayelech Moshe, Vayashav el Yeser Chosno. After this conversation and after he finally agrees to go and do what he has to do, he then turns back around and goes to his father-in-law Yisro's house. Why are you going backwards? The Ribono Shel Olam just asked you to go immediately to Mitzrayim. The entire Jewish community is waiting for you. Look how much they're suffering. Why are you going back to your father-in-law's home? Writes the Medrash, I'll tell you why. B'shal she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God told him, Ve'ata lecha ve'eshlachecha paro, Amar lo, he says, Ribono Olamim, Eini yachol, I'm sorry, I am unable to go immediately now as you have asked me to. Mipnei shekiblani Yisro, because my father-in-law has taken me into his home. And Pasach li beso, he opened his home to me, va'ani imo kiben, and I give all of you a blessing. You should be as lucky as I am that you should feel with your in-laws that you are imahem kibas, that you are with them like a child, that you don't feel like an outsider. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's what I feel. My father-in-law took me in and he accepted me as if I was one of his own children. And somebody who is willing to take another person in and be so gracious to them, nafsho chayevlo, I owe that person my life. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know I have an important job. I know that I need to save the Jewish people and I'm prepared to do it now. But there's one thing in my way. I must ask permission before I leave because nafsho chayev lo. Because I owe so much to this person who was so gracious to me. And it's an amazing comment of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can make the entire Jewish people wait, but they're waiting because you need to express your gratefulness. That is your primary obligation right now. That's what stands in front of you and nothing else. And that, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, is something that we can never forget and we can never neglect. You know, we say, as we mentioned every Shabbos, we say, Nishmas Kol Chai. And in that beautiful tefillah, we say something that the Gemara finds to be an unusual phrase. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hamuhulal Berov HaTishbachos, which means we praise Him with most of the praise that we owe people in our lives. At the same time, the Gemara says, we refer to Him as the Kel HaHodaos, also mentioned in Nishmas. Sounds like you are the one who we owe everything to. So what is it? Do we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu everything in our lives, or do we reserve some of it to be given to someone else? How do we understand that? My father told me many times in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that perhaps the way to understand this is based on a comment of the Chovos HaLevavos. You ever find it strange? I was just driving down the New Jersey Turnpike last night, and there you're not allowed to fill up your own gas. It's illegal. So somebody fills up the gas for you. I think a mensch knows that after that person standing out in the freezing cold and the rain fills up your gas, you have to give them a tip, correct? That's what you're supposed to do. You go to a restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress is going out of their way to serve you. We all know that we give a tip after we're finished, even though we don't have to, but that's what we do. You ever wonder, how strange is that? Do you not think that the waiter or the waitress or the gas attendant is actually being paid for the work that they do? Of course they are, otherwise they wouldn't do it. They're not relying on your tip. They know that they're going to be paid for the work that they do, and the tip is the extra. So why am I tipping that person? I pay for the service. Part of what I pay for is that this person is going to help me. Ask the Chovos HaLevavos, why do you say thank you to that person if they're just doing their job? And for that matter, anyone who's involved in a relationship with your parents, with your spouses, with your in-laws, with anybody who's helpful to you in life, why should a husband ever be grateful to his wife for helping out with the kids or for helping out with whatever it is that she provides in the marriage? Why is he grateful to her? If he wasn't doing something for her, she probably wouldn't do back for him. And she can say the same thing. Why should I ever thank you if we have an understanding? You are doing part of whatever it is that you bring into the marriage. I'm doing my part in this marriage. That's the way we have a relationship. Why should we ever be grateful to each other if everyone's just doing what they're supposed to? Writes the Chovos HaLevavos. If you don't reserve some place in your life or in your mind to be grateful to those around you who you feel are helpful to you in some way, ultimately, you will come to deny the existence of the Ribono Shel Olam himself and how grateful you need to be to him. If we don't get ourselves accustomed and used to this kind of way of life and this perspective, it will ultimately lead to a person having a complete denial of the Ribono Shel Olam's kindnesses as well. This is what we mean when we say in Nishmas, Hamuhulal Berov HaTishbachos, when you break it down, of course, we owe everything in our lives to the Ribono Shel Olam and to Him alone. You'll say, how did I end up in this marriage, and how did I end up in this family, and how did I end up in this school? It's all the Ribono Shel Olam, and of course we owe everything to Him, but yet, we need to make space to thank those around us. We don't give all of our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if we would, and we would not reserve anything for the people around us, we would ultimately deny the appreciation that he is deserving of as well. How do we know that to be the case? Well, the Medrash writes in Parshas Shemos, once again, Vayakam melech chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. Now I ask you, is it possible for you to imagine that there's an American president who would never know the existence of George Washington? Is it possible, maybe it's possible, but can it be that we would have an American president who wouldn't know who Abraham Lincoln was? How can you be the president of the United States if you don't know the most basic, fundamental elements of what this country is about and what we stand for? So how is it possible, asks Rashi, Asher lo yada es Yosef? Yosef is the one who saved the entire community from destruction. How could it be that they now have a prime minister, they now have a leader who's never heard of him? Asher lo, you didn't do your homework before you became the president? You don't know anything? And the answer is, he was asa atzmo ki'ilu lo yada. He knew very well who Yosef was, but he pretended as if he didn't. He said, we're not going to be grateful, we're not going to be beholden to the great Yosef. We don't want to have to owe those Jews anything. Writes the Medrash, it starts with a lack of understanding of what Yosef did for them, and you know where it ends up? It ends up that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have a message for you from God himself, he says, Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who this God is that you're referring to. You know where that starts? That starts by a person who says, Asher lo yada es Yosef. I don't recognize the human beings around me in my life who have been so helpful. And it ultimately leads to a person saying, Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who the Ribono Shel Olam is either. I don't recognize the existence of God in my life. He doesn't seem to be a presence for me. Go back to Adam HaRishon, the very first human being. He is so ungrateful The Ribbono Shel Olam gives him the biggest gift of his life. He gives him a wife that's going to be an Ezer Kenegdo. She's going to help him. She's going to buttress everything that he's missing in his life. She's going to fill in. And what happens when he is confronted about his own wife? As we know, Adam Arishon says, Ha'isha asher nasata ima. He's so ungrateful, he pins the blame on the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Just the very next parsha, we learn about the Dor HaHaflaga. And the Torah refers to the people at the time of the Dor HaHaflaga as B'nei HaAdam. B'nei HaAdam. The people who were rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu were referred to as B'nei HaAdam, writes the Medrash. You know why? These are the children of Adam HaRishon. It starts with not being grateful to having a wife like Chava, to having the life that you've been provided with, and it ends up that you can be the generation of B'nei HaAdam that rebel against God Himself. That, writes the Chovos HaLevavos, is where it all starts. If a person doesn't recognize the human beings around them in their lives that do so much for them, that's where it leads. A person can be led to a point where they deny the existence and the appreciation that they owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. We say every Shabbos in our davening, Le'osen if la'os gedalos levado, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the only one who does all these incredible things for us as people, as humanity in this world. Writes the Medrash, what do we mean when we say, Le'osen if la'os gedalos levado? I'm sorry that we're reading so much in the Medrash, but I think you should see it for yourself. Don't trust me on anything. Read the Midrashim on your own and understand that there's such a deep perspective and there's so much focus and attention on our sense of gratitude, on our sense of gratefulness and appreciation that we need to have. Writes the Medrash, what does it mean, Levado, v'chum mishuhu acher asa imo davar, shehu amar levado? Do we need to actually highlight that point, that we're only grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rather it means, he says sometimes, you can read it on your own later, we're running out of time, but sometimes a person doesn't even realize how grateful they need to be. You ever been involved in something and the person who you're helping doesn't even know how much time and effort you're spending on it? You know, I felt terrible, I just came here and I didn't make copies before I showed up. And it's not so nice. Why did I show up 10 minutes before the shiur and ask the secretary upstairs, who was so gracious and so nice, to take care of it for me when I should have done it before? Now, do the people that had me on the phone last night till 1:30 in the morning and this entire day until I showed up to the door here, because there's a couple that's breaking an engagement and all sides are going crazy right now, and somehow we're stuck in the middle of this as the rabbi of the community, do they know how much stress it caused me? Do they know how troubled I am that I'm showing up for a shiur totally unprepared and not ready to say what I want to say because I'm busy, my whole head is with you? They have no way of understanding that, and I'll never tell them that. Well, imagine a millionfold how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us that we just will never know. How many times we've been spared from something that can be such a calamity, that can be such a terrible reality, such a horrible existence for us. But the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is the only one who knows. Le'osen if la'os gedalos levado. You know, sometimes you can be grateful to a person, but you don't even understand how much appreciation you need to have. You don't know how much energy, how much effort, how much stress the person went through to help you. How can you ever know? If someone is a real Baal Chesed, they'll never share that with you. They'll never make you feel like you're taking so much from them. But just know and understand that when we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same. Life is not as one-dimensional as it seems. And sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam, although we sometimes upset him, and we sometimes disappoint him, and we don't do exactly what he wants us to do, the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to do it anyway, and we have no way of evaluating or appreciating how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually does for us in the lives that we live. Chanukah is an opportunity for us to really think about all that the Ribbono Shel Olam has done and continues to do for all of us in our lives. And probably the most famous Ramban on all of Chumash is the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, number Yud Aleph, where he writes, Min anisim hagedolim hamufursamim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do the incredible miracles of Kriyas Yamsev? Was this just God flexing his muscles? He has to show off to the world, oh, look what I can do? Is that what it was about? Absolutely not. Writes the Ramban, I'll tell you why he had to do it. Min anisim hagedolim hamufursamim. Adam moda benisim hanistarim. That gives a person an opportunity to pause and think about how lucky we are in every moment of our lives. We think about the miracle and the story of Hanukkah. And I don't know if everybody is aware of the history of Hanukkah, but it was a horrific time for the Jewish people. You know, sometimes we have a mistaken impression and we say Purim was the time when they wanted to wipe us all out, and Hanukkah was the time when they wanted to have a spiritual destruction. That is not entirely accurate. If you look clearly in all of the Svarim that discuss the history, or Josephus that certainly discusses all that took place, or Megillas Antiochus, or all of these different sources, it's clear that the Jews were being wiped out in droves in the days of Hanukkah, and Matisyahu Banav were living out in a forest, hiding out, because there were very few Jews from Yerushalayim who were able to survive. And if you understand the impossible that took place, the Rabim Biad Miatim, do you appreciate what that really means? Five crazy people got up against the most powerful army in the world that had wiped out almost the entire Jewish community in Israel. And they got up, and they didn't have an army, and they had nothing to them, nothing behind them. It was like a little guerrilla warfare, starting up with a couple of soldiers somewhere that they found at a crossroads. Burned a little tire, rolled it down the road, went and stabbed a soldier. What did they do already? It was the impossible. It was unbelievable. That was an incredible miracle of Hanukkah, and it doesn't get enough attention. It wasn't just the Pach Shemen. It was the existence of the Jewish people that continued to survive and live on. And yet, the Ramban writes, with all of that, what is the objective, what is the purpose of these miracles that we live through and we highlight? It is in order that we should have the opportunity to be mode benisim hanistarim. That we should take pause to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in every day of our lives. That we can have the opportunity to appreciate Him at all times and under all circumstances. Like the Gemara says, Al kol neshima u neshima. That's what we mean when we say kol haneshama tehalal ka. It doesn't just mean every soul should praise you, but it means on every breath that we take, we need to be grateful to you. Al kol neshima u neshima, because everything is a gift. Every moment of life. Let me close with one final comment. When we have the story of Rachel and Leah having children, so we find that Leah names her child Yehuda. Hapam odes Hashem. Now she feels that she should be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, if you look at the very end of that pasuk, look on the bottom of the sheet, we're told, Al kein kara shemo Yehuda, that is the reason why she named her son Yehuda, that every time she would go after him in the playground and say his name, she would remind herself of how grateful she needed to be. But then the pasuk says, Vatam od miledes. After giving birth to Yehuda, the Ribbono Shel Olam suspended her ability to have any more children. Isn't that strange? I would think, if somebody's willing to go so far out of their way to express their gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't you be rushing to give them more children? Don't you want more people like that? Don't you want more opportunities and more experiences of gratefulness from somebody who actually appreciates and understands the miracle of birth? Why is it that immediately after naming her child Yehuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends her ability to have children instead of giving her more opportunities to do so? Writes the Tur on Chumash, not in the Baal HaTurim, it's the same author, but in his commentary, the Pirush HaTur al HaTorah, he writes as follows. If you contrast this to the Hodah of Rachel. Rachel is looking forward to have children and she cannot conceive. And she finally has a child after all those years and she names him Yosef. Which means, writes the pasuk, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Now that I have a child, I ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me another child. You ever have an experience where You're looking for a job. You want something to do. You're trying to get into a camp. You're trying to have some opportunity that will be of excitement to you. And finally, you get to where you need to be. You become the partner in the law firm. Didn't happen yet. But you become the dean of the school. Something happens that's a great promotion to you. And you're very excited about it. It's so easy at those moments to say, thank you very much, God. You've gotten me until this point. I'm okay now. I can handle this. I appreciate that you've walked with me and you've gotten me to wherever it is that I needed to get. But you can now check out. Because I'll be all right. My life is complete. Everything's perfect. Life is beautiful. I've gotten whatever it is that I need. You can go work on somebody else now. That was Leah's feeling. I'm so overwhelmingly grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me a child. I name him Yehuda. But God, now you can check out. My family is now complete. Everything's great. I don't need your help anymore. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, if that's what you feel, I will take away your ability to have children and you will realize that going forward you continue to need my intervention. You continue to need my assistance in every waking moment of your life. You will have nothing without the Ribbono Shel Olam being able to give it to you. It will not happen naturally. Rachel Imenu gets up, she has a child, and the first thing she says is, God, thank you for giving me a child. I appreciate it, but I understand. Yosef Hashem li ben acher. The only way that I can have any future success in anything that I'll do in my life, in any endeavor, is if you will give it to me. And if you will be there for me. Isn't it strange that we say Hallel? And we're so filled with joy and appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for everything that He does. And we go paragraph after paragraph, line after line, highlighting the incredible miracles and all the great feelings that we have. And then, right in the end of Hallel, we say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana? How does that fit? Why is Ana Hashem Hoshiana right in the middle of Hallel? That's not thanking Him. Writes the tour, because without that component of a Hallel, your Hallel is incomplete. You could be grateful as much as you want, but if you don't include in that gratitude, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm thankful for everything that I have, for all the gifts of my life, but I need you in order to continue to be successful. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. That is a critical component to my future success. I need you to help me going forward. It's not enough what I've been able to accomplish until now, but I need you in order to make me successful in this next endeavor, in this next step of my life. Without that, writes the Baal HaTurim, your hodah is insufficient. It is incomplete. This is what we say in Nishmas every Shabbos. Adheina azaruna rachamecha. We recognize and we appreciate that until this point you have helped us. V'lo azavunu chasadecha. You have never abandoned us. You have never forsaken us. But we say, V'al titshenu Hashem Elokeinu lanetzach. Part of our appreciation and part of the recognition that we have of your kindnesses are that we understand, Al titshenu Hashem Elokeinu lanetzach. We need you going forward as well. And we need you in order to be successful in any future endeavor that we will embark in, that we will engage in at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Meitiv. He is the one that gives us everything that we have. And like the Ramban that we started with says, Kavanas kol ha-yitzira. Everything that we are meant to do, the objective of life is that we should recognize that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is the ultimate presence in our lives. V'noda elav shehu bera'ana. To come to a place where we're able to be grateful to Him for giving us the opportunities, the experiences, the blessing, and all of the unbelievable things that we are able to have in the incredible lives that we all live. I wish all of you once again a Freilich and Chanukah. I hope you enjoy. And these days of Lehodos Ulahalos should be used not only to be grateful for what we have, but to ask a tefillah going forward. Adheina Azaruna Rachamecha. God has helped us so much until this point to be successful to the point that we are. May He continue to be so gracious to all of us, to give us everything that we need to continue to be successful and to continue to provide all of those opportunities that we so much look forward to in the lives that we all live. Thank you so much again.